Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Why are we so fascinated, Dr. Michael Masters, with time travel? Is it because it's the thrill of an adventure? Let's go back through time. Let's change something that didn't turn out right. Let's go on our wave rider and fix it.
I think a lot of it comes down to what you just mentioned before the break, that we're interested in knowing about the past, what really happened. We're interested in knowing about the future. People often ask me, if you got picked up by these folks and you could go back or forward in time, which would you choose? And I always say forward. I've studied the past my whole life and feel like I have a good understanding of it. Like I said, it would be awesome to hover above those Neanderthals at that cave in Jonzac where I worked and see what they were doing. But I'm more interested in the what's to come. And within this worldview, within this extratempestrial model, we're getting little glimpses of that every time they come and visit us. We're able to see some elements of future technology and future human form, but I'd want to go balls deep. I'd want to go all the way to the future and, you know, walk around in the streets and just see what life's like. What are social systems like? Do we still have all of these political infighting situations? And is war still a thing? How does telepathy work? Does everyone know what each other's thinking? Can we hide things in our thoughts? How does that communication ability open up this sense of unity, collective consciousness? So I think there's endless questions and possibilities with time travel, both backward and forward. And I think that's a big part of why it's so fascinating to us as a species.
Of course, we don't go 800,000 years in the future and find the Morlocks, a race of subterranean creatures who raise a race of humans so they can have lunch.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a great Futurama episode, too, where the professor was testing out a time machine, and they go into the future, and they stop like 1,000 years and 200,000 years. And every time they stop somewhere, there's some hilarious situation. But, yeah, in one of them, there was no men. So these two men and a robot are being seduced by all these beautiful, buxom women. And then in another one, robots took over the world and killed all the humans. So the robot's like, hey, let's stay there in that time. That looks fun. So, yeah, I think there's just so many possibilities and so many just interesting scenarios, both past and future. And especially, you know, now that might be within reach. There's nothing in the laws of physics that says backward time travel is not possible. So as we inch closer to the time when we may be able to achieve it, I think it allows us to sort of hypothesize or speculate about various scenarios that could arise from it.
Of course, we have the third season of Star Trek Discovery. Don't know if you've watched that show. It's on CBS All Access, which will be rebranded Paramount Plus starting in March. And in the third season, this is a spoiler, but you can watch a week's trial of that service if you want. The Discovery went 1,000 years into the future, and they see the impact, both good and bad.
Yeah. While we're talking pop culture, there was a show called The Orville that was on. I don't know if you guys watched that. I think it might have gotten canceled, but it was with Seth MacFarlane, the guy from Family Guy and various other things. But there was one episode where their ship was hovering above a planet, but the planet would only come into their frame of reference like every day. But a day to them on their ship was something like 50,000 years on that planet. So they would go down and see these dramatic changes in a very short period of time. And one, they made an appearance when they were in like a Stone Age situation. And then the next time they came down, they had become deities because they healed someone who had an injury, and then that spread and became a religion. And so the next time they came down, they had been represented in this deity form. Yeah, there's so many examples. Obviously, Back to the Future gets cited all the time. It's a horrible, horrible movie in the context of how time travel would actually work. It's a great movie. It's really entertaining, but some are better than others, I guess you could say.
Well, in terms of Back to the Future, when they go to the past, we get the old-fashioned vision of what they did then impacted how the future turns out.
Yeah, exactly. Especially with rock and roll music, I think that was kind of the main theme at the end when Marty's jamming out on the guitar. And yeah, it's a real thing to consider. You could have the future impact the past and the same future that you came from.
Okay, so let's talk about traveling through time. Is science really working on such a project? I know they're working on warp drive. They're working on transporters. Stargate's not quite yet.
Yeah, there's kind of an ebb and flow there. There is a lot of theoretical physics research into the question of whether it'd be possible. But there are others who are actively trying to derive solutions to Einstein's field equations and to figure out how we might actually do it. And there's a lot of consistency in what they come up with. It usually involves some sort of rapidly rotating sphere, cylinder, or disk in many cases, a highly energetic or highly massive disk or cylinder. Actually, Ronald Mallett, who's a pretty well-known physicist, it's his stated life goal to build a time machine. He's actively researching this, mostly using lasers, but trying to send something back. He lost his father when he was young, and like many people have contacted me with really sad stories about losing a child or some horrible event, and they want to go back and change it. He's been working his whole life to try to change that and to save his father. And he's, you know, a well-respected physicist with a lab, and he's conducting experiments. So yeah, we as a species are trying to figure it out. And honestly, I don't think it'll be that long. There's a couple of case studies that I've been writing about for this new book with descriptions of very, very similar humans with, obviously, the UFOs. We even give tours and describe how these craft fly and some aspects of their anti-gravity, you know, in layman's terms, because we're talking about people in their past. But I personally don't think it's going to be that long. And really, we could know at whatever point they decide to tell us, too. It could happen in our lifetime, even if we haven't figured out backward time travel technology ourselves.
Hmm. I still would rather go to the future myself.
Yeah, me too. Totally.
Past is the past, but the future would be fun.
Yeah.
And we could use a little fun.
Yeah, it'd be hard not to sneak things back. I think I would get busted for trying to smuggle things home when they brought me back. And, it's like the whole idea of stock picks or Back to the Future too, since we're talking about some pulp culture scenarios where Biff gets all of the sports bets outcomes and makes a fortune that way. Like, it would be hard. You'd definitely be incentivized to bring something back, you know, a newspaper with a stock report. Why not make a fortune while you're traveling around through time?
When you talk about going to the future, I think of precognition, where people allegedly have the ability to see an event in the future. So is it that their mind suddenly jumps through time briefly?
Personally, I think that our consciousness is unbound from time and space, and people who are able to see things before they happen are just connected to that conscious state when things are happening in the future. I actually have that ability. It's kind of freaked me out for most of my life, but
say what?
Yeah, I see things before they happen. It's only through dreams. It's only ever happened through dreams, but really benign scenarios. Nothing like a sporting event that I could bet on. It's always just the most random moments, and it's not just what I see. It's the smells. It's any anxieties I had. The situation. What we were talking about. What we were thinking about. There's ones that have lasted long enough for me to know what a person's about to say.
I'll tell you what, let's talk about precognition. Dr. Michael Masters, more to come with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the tech boom in the U.S. markets. The red-hot e-commerce payment sector is on fire with no signs of slowing down. Text the word HOT to 48542. Here's just one example of what you can get with the up-to-minute research from Avid Market Readers. According to Allied Market Research, mobile payments are on track to exceed $12 trillion, and Avid has identified one of the hottest companies in North America that is poised to dominate the mobile payment and e-commerce sector in 2021. Text the word HOT to 48542 to get your free subscription to Avid Market Readers. We deliver the data directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the hottest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word HOT to 48542. Set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode now with our information delivery system from Avid Market Readers. Text HOT to 48542 now and don't get left behind in 2021. Text HOT to 48542.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100 and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need.
800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. That's 800-507-6553.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
But just think yesterday, maybe 12, 18 hours ago, you knew the numbers that would get you the $731 million awarded in Powerball. $731 million minus taxes, of course. All right, you say you've had this kind of experience just anticipating what people say. How extensive and how often does it happen?
Well, it's really weird. It's not something I can control. I've only been able to lucid dream maybe 3 or 4 times. It indicates to me that there is some sort of connection to a deeper consciousness that is unbound by time and space. I feel like there's this quantum cohesion between our consciousness and the actual dendrites, the physical form of our brains, and then death is just a decoherence of that quantum state. But if you look at near-death experiences, my stepdad actually was just telling me about an experience he had recently. He was just in and out of the hospital for a serious heart condition and may have died in his sleep for a little while, actually, based on what he was saying. But he describes something very common that a lot of other people with these experiences have, where he's able to move through space and time and see things and travel without the burden of these meat bags that we carry around. And I think that, in addition to my own experiences of seeing moments before they happen, really indicates that our consciousness exists in a different state of being, a non-physical state of being. I'd say, to answer your question, it happens, there'll be little flurries where it happens, you know, a couple times in the same week, and then it'll be months before it happens again. And it used to freak me out when I was a kid, because I thought if I hadn't had it for a while, it means I'm going to die, because there's nothing left in the future to see. So I would get all paranoid if I hadn't had one for a couple months, because I thought that meant my end was near.
That reminds me of, I was just watching a movie, The Time Traveler's Wife. Mm-hmm. Not sure if you've seen it, but he goes through something very similar, where he tends to sort of spontaneously pop in and out of different timelines, but he's never able to see past a mm-hmm. certain age. And so he figures he's going to die,
yeah,
you know, within this particular range of times that he's never been able to see past. So that's a very interesting kind of parallel there.
Yeah, it gets in your head. It used to mess with me a lot. And I eventually, as I got older, I realized that there's just an ebb and flow. There's a kind of a feast and famine with precognitive visions, but I don't have it, you know, nearly as to the same extent as a lot of people. I mean, I've talked to people who really are far more in touch with it. For me, it just kind of happens, and I'm like, oh, I remember this, I dreamed this, and I can say what's about to happen in some isolated cases. But there's a lot of people out there who are way more in touch with it, and who can lucid dream whenever they want to, and have, you know, telepathic abilities in some cases. So, yeah, I think it's really fascinating. Unfortunately, it's one of those taboo things that we can't really talk about or study in a way that I think it deserves.
Well, I was going to ask you about that, because being an academic who is openly involved in exploring the subject of ufology and the rest of these ideas, are you finding now that there's a growing acceptance among your peers?
Yeah, actually, it's been really nice to see that. I was just interviewed by a philosopher, a woman named Chris Rowles. She has a PhD in philosophy and teaches at a college on the East Coast. But she interviewed me for the American Philosophical Association's blog. And that in itself, I thought, was phenomenal, that the main organization for the American Philosophical Society is actively publishing things about not just UFOs, but the whole series. It was a 6-part series where she interviewed PhDs who were doing sort of out of the box research, related to consciousness and time and even near death experiences. She actually just gave a talk for the big long acronym, I can't remember the name of it, but some Near Death Experience Institute or something, which I watched, and it was really good. And she addressed this too, how she's now able to talk about these things more. She doesn't have tenure. I'm lucky enough to have tenure and be at the end of my promotional career with full professor. So there's some protections, and that's the reason we have tenure, is to provide those protections and to allow people to push the boundaries of our understanding, or at least to talk about things in different ways. But yeah, there's Wendt is his last name. I can't remember his first name, but him and I, he was at Ohio State, still is at Ohio State, a professor in political science. Just gave a TEDx talk about UFOs. And yeah, I think,
I thought they were all like, no, Ted won't. You mentioned the word UFOs, that forget it.
Yeah, they
will not get the Ted label on that.
They're very draconian. I don't know how he snuck that by him. It was a TEDx, which is still associated with Ted.
Right.
But, I don't know if he pulled a fast one on him or they just weren't vetting his talk as well as they should have. But, yeah, he snuck one through, and it went viral. It was trending for a while. So I reached out to him. You know, we got to stick together, the ones of us that are sticking our heads out. So I actually also used to work. My very first job was as a research assistant at Ohio State, in that same building that he's in. So we kind of had some things to talk about beyond our interest in UFOs. But he's saying the same thing I am. This is our job as scientists. We should be studying this. We should be researching this. And I go out of my way to call out my colleagues who still have that knee-jerk reaction to the subject, especially now that the Pentagon's confirmed the reality of those videos, the cockpit videos, and have been more open about different programs. So there's really no reason why we shouldn't be taking this seriously and we shouldn't be talking about it.
Well, when it comes to UFOs, of course, it has been taken seriously in the past. The United States Air Force investigated it for over 20 years.
Yeah.
Like in an official capacity. And people say, oh, no, you know, nothing ever came of it. It's not some big cover-up or anything else. And then you go to the archives and you dig up the Project Blue Book papers and you see the stamp right on it, secret, right? Yes. So they were not telling us everything.
No.
They haven't been telling us everything all along. And like Gene says, I don't think any of us are really convinced that they're going to tell us everything in the future.
As I mentioned in my book, they're not doing that for the Loch Ness Monster or for Bigfoot or for Mothman. The UFO phenomenon is real, and it blows my mind that people are still like, well, if they're real, definitely real. And why aren't we trying to figure out what the hell they are? Why are we still
the reality question is well over. And
yeah.
But you're right. There are still a certain number of people who will just, you'll just see them turn off the light and that's it, walk out of the room. They don't even want to engage on it, period.
You gotta admit that Project Grudge and Blue Book were really effective at creating this stigma that wasn't just effective at the time, but is perpetuated through time. And we still feel this awkwardness and this disgust at the idea of aliens and UFOs. It's ridiculous. Like, it's a really fascinating phenomenon. It makes no sense why we just bury our heads in the sand and walk away.
We're not going to bury our heads in the sand. We're going to look at these announcements and come back with Michael, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Thousands of National Guard troops brought to the nation's capital to secure the inauguration will remain in Washington, D.C. until at least March. The Guard will continue to support local and federal law enforcement, initially reduced to 7,000 members and drawing down to 5,000 troops by mid-March. Congressman Andy Biggs says there's no justification to keep the Guard in D.C. that long. The Arizona Republican tells Fox News he hopes the troops are allowed to return home soon.
There's no justification for that. They don't want to get the Democrats don't want to get back to regular order on anything, including the nation's capital. And that is going to be a problem going forward. This is, as some people have said, some commentators have suggested that this is an attempt to show power, governmental centralization of power through the station of military all over the United States Capitol. It is unfortunate. It shouldn't happen. And I hope that they rethink that.
This is USA Radio News. Among the executive orders that President Biden signed in his first days in office was one revoking approval for the Keystone XL pipeline, which would have run from Alberta, Canada, to Nebraska. It's a decision that Nebraska's governor says will negatively impact his state. Governor Pete Ricketts tells Fox News that the pipeline would have brought jobs and more to Nebraska.
This is a horrible decision on the part of the new administration to do this. This is going to impact Nebraska. You know, we expected to get about 1,000 good-paying jobs here. And in fact, the premier is exactly right. These are union jobs. Some of these jobs, you know, for these skilled welders pay $135 or $150 an hour. And then, of course, there's jobs that would be permanent after the construction of the pipeline. 100 or 200 of those would be in our rural parts of our state. So, again, great-paying jobs in rural parts of our state. And then, of course, this would also deliver property tax relief to the counties that the pipeline ran through. So it really is something, it's a terrible decision, and it's going to negatively impact Nebraska and our citizens with regard to our prosperity.
This is USA Radio News.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Dr. Michael Masters joining us, and of course, he is on his second book now about abductions. Of course, his original book that we talked about last year, Identified Flying Objects, a Multidisciplinary Scientific Approach to the UFO Phenomenon, or now, of course, we call it UAP. But in looking at possible visitors from other planets, do you consider at all that maybe that's another answer or another possibility, or is it both? Well, okay, it's time travelers, it's ET, a combination.
Yeah, I definitely think everything should be on the table. And like I say many times in the book, I don't claim to have any deeper insight. I don't have all of the answers. I definitely think the phenomenon makes a lot of sense, and especially many of the details with regard to what they're seen doing, how they operate, what their intentions might be, as we talked about earlier in the show. I think a lot of that fits within this extraterrestrial model, but I definitely don't discount the possibility of life on other planets that they've even maybe visited us. I think the simulation hypothesis is on the table. I kind of consider interdimensional to be more or less the same thing as the extratempestrial model. I don't see those as being competing, but rather are probably pretty similar in the way that we would understand this. So, yeah, I have a very open mind to everything. And just because I'm advocating for this time travel model doesn't mean that I don't think it could be other things. I'm very, very open to that.
Yeah, you refer to it as the extratempestrial model. I think, generally speaking, we refer to it as the extratemporal model. Either way, same thing. Kind of. I mean, the way that, you know, tempestrial kind of sounds like, well, from here, not just from any place in time, but from Earth's future, which is pretty cool. I mean, I don't know if we necessarily need to go with that model to get the same sort of phenomena happening? And we can get into that a little bit later, but we've got a couple of people in our forum who had actually requested that we get you back on because they really love your work. And we've got a couple of questions from them.
Oh, cool. I love listener questions.
Yeah, we've got one from Damien and another from Jenny Chan. So Damien, he asks here, he says he bought your book and he supports your theory. And he asks, getting into the block universe theory, does that mean we are immortal, for the lack of a better word, if we always exist in specific coordinates of 4D space-time?
I love that question. I think so, honestly. And a lot of this plays into what we were talking about earlier with regard to this precognition. I don't usually use that word because it makes me sound like I have some superpowers that I don't feel like I have. But to me, the way I've always tried to understand it, because it's been happening to me my entire life, and I think when I was in high school or college, I started to think, well, maybe I'm just seeing these things that are going to happen in my future because I've always lived in this body. And some people have had other lives or, you know, past lives. I think my consciousness has always been in this body. So the next step for me in this was to think, well, so when we die and our consciousness becomes unhinged from the fleshy portal that we used to carry it around, perhaps that light at the end of the tunnel is just us coming back into the world, in the doctor's office, where we're re-entering the world. Our consciousness reattaches itself to the same form, just at an earlier time. So yeah, in the context of block time and all moments being really there, not just within our lives or in association with our consciousness, but just structured in this massive four-dimensional block of the entire universe, then yeah, if we exist, we always exist. And the only thing that separates it is this physical body that makes us perceive time in a linear way. But there's really nothing, no reason why the arrow of time exists. It doesn't exist in physics. Things are atemporal. They run just as well backwards as forward. But I think there's something about our biological state and the way life has evolved that makes time seem linear. But once our brains are disconnected from the soul, this entity that allows us to have these feelings and thought, I think that's possibly just returns to the time that we're born and always exists for infinity in that time that we're in. We talk about, you know, when people die, we don't see them now, but something I always tell my kids when they're sad about, you know, our dog just passed away that we had for 13 years. And I was like, she's a puppy again. You know, she just got reborn as a puppy. We actually watched her die. It was really sad. She died in our arms. Well, but it's really
like losing a part of the family.
It is. I mean,
you know, it truly is. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially to watch that last moment of life. And I watched her leave her body and you could see the moment it happened.
You just know.
Light go out and you know, I told my kids, I'm like, she just went back to her puppy time, and we're gonna meet her in, you know, five weeks or something when we picked her up along the side of the road.
Well, we've got a list. We're gonna move on from that. Lots that we could sort of dig into there, but we've got question number two from Damien, who says, you cited examples such as Roswell and the alien autopsy as evidence of what aliens look like, but both cases have their detractors in the UFO community. In fact, I mean, the Santilli case, that's been pretty much totally debunked.
Yeah, and I'd like to, you know, correct something right off the bat, that I didn't use the alien autopsy. A lot of people misconstrued that, and it kind of pissed me off, because I was very clear about stating early on in that section that it was a hoax. It was fake. It was not real. So I didn't use that.
Okay. Well, thanks for clarifying that. I would imagine that you do believe that there are plenty of other cases, however, where there are descriptions of aliens that are similar that you don't think are fake. And I think most of us would also agree with that. Question number three.
Well, hang on. I guess I should clarify why I mentioned the alien autopsy.
Okay.
Because I did mention it in the book. I just wasn't using it as this is what we're going to look like. The reason I brought it up, and I guess I should have been more clear about this because a couple people have misinterpreted that. I was saying because it's fake, if it's not based on something, you know, some actual autopsy that took place, Santilli claims to have original footage that this was a recreation of, we could get into that for decades. It's this highly controversial thing. My point is, why make an alien look so human if you're faking an alien autopsy if it wasn't based on something? That was the only point I was trying to make. It looks very human. The things they do to it, taking off the contact lenses, the physical form of it, the look in the eyes, the shape of the eyes, all of them are things that we would expect in the future and are characteristic of many of these grays, but we wouldn't expect a fake to make something that looked so human if they're just faking an alien autopsy. We would expect them to come up with something far more alien, was the point I was trying to make in that book.
Of course, the beginning and end of it is, what does E.T. look like anyway?
Yeah, yeah.
And the other question would be here, even if E.T. is alien, would they have the ability to alter their perceived appearance, kind of like the alien did in Contact?
Yeah, or the screen memories that are so commonly reported. They clearly have the ability to manipulate how we perceive them. I don't think they're actually shape-shifting or anything like that, but they have the ability to create memories, false memories, about what they looked like for many abductees.
But then how would they be defeated so easily with some hypnotic regression? You see the owl, and you go under hypnosis, mm-hmm. and suddenly you see you were in touch with E.T. It sounds to me like your mind control techniques could use a little bit of work. We got more.
Well, not just that.
Let me break here. More to come with Michael and Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together.
People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, of course, as I was saying there, that you would think if E.T. has these powers of mind control, they can do a heck of a lot better. In fact, the entire abduction experience, have you thought of that, may be something that was generated as opposed to a real experience with something. Their altering of your memory or creation of false memories, it didn't happen. They just sent you the projection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's something I talk about a lot in this new book, are these screen memories and what that might mean. And I would totally agree, and also add to that that it seems to be very dependent on the individual's own mind too. You have some people who they don't even know they're abducted, and then something they start to sense something, and then they try to look more into it, and then something triggers that all of these memories come flooding back. Willie Strieber, for him, it was a smell, and then all of it connected enough of whatever severed dendrites they did or whatever they did to his brain to make him forget. But then you have people like Terry Lovelace, where he has this horrific experience, and they're like, don't worry, you won't remember it. And he's like, oh, yeah, I will. You better believe I will. And he never really, it didn't work on him the same way. So I think there's some variation, not just in the screen memory or what's provided, especially for children. It tends to be even more common when children are abducted, but some people who just, it just doesn't take, it doesn't affect them. And yeah, I agree. They need to up their game when it comes to the forgetting and the screen memories, because they seem to break down pretty easily.
Well, we're on the topic of abductions here. Jenny Chan asks, she's got a couple of questions here, actually. So I guess the shortest one is, when it comes to abductions, do you believe Travis Walton was taken up by time travelers?
I do. Yeah, he's actually one of the case studies I examine in this new book.
Okay, that was a short answer.
More to come on
that. Leave it at that for now. And I know our regular listeners are going to be knowing what kind of gears are turning in my head right now.
Yeah. But there's 5,000 words written about that very question, so yeah. I think it's better just to wait on that one.
Get the book. What is the title of your new book called?
It's actually just called The Extratempestrial Model.
Oh, okay. And is it out yet, or is it coming out, and when?
Oh, God, no. My goal is to have the first draft finished by Christmas, and I think I hit save on the 23rd. Friday the 23rd. So, yeah, I made that goal. Unfortunately, classes started back up a few weeks ago, so I haven't been making as much progress. But I'm hoping for a 2021 release, so this year sometime.
That sounds good. And she also asks, did you consider an alternative hypothesis of an advanced breakaway civilization being behind UFOs?
Yeah, that's a question I get asked a lot, and it's a really interesting one to think about. Yeah, there's the idea. I've heard a couple different versions of this, but one is that there was a breakaway civilization now or at some point in the near term, and they go to a different planet, or they go back in time and then become them and then travel through time and across space, populate different planets. Yeah, I don't think at this point that's happened, just because we haven't had the technology as a species to really do that yet. But it's possible that in the future there could be some split, some rifts that divides us, or something that happens to the planet where we have to go to a moon base or a space station type living situation. So yeah, I think in the future there's a lot of things that could happen, but I don't think, and there's really no way that there could have been a past group, because we have to go through the stages of technological development to even get to a point where we could break away and do something like that. There's no evidence that we've left Earth prior to the beginning of the rocket age. So I think it's definitely something to keep in mind, but it's something that would probably happen in our near future if it does.
Yeah, and maybe closer than we think, too, at the rate of our technological progress. They've got quantum computing going now that I read an article not too long ago where, this is just in its infancy, and this computer solved a problem that would take a conventional computer 10,000 years to solve.
Yeah. Technology is really an interesting one as far as acceleration. Like when I was taking statistics in graduate school, you know, we plug everything into a computer, it spits out instant results, and our professors would tell us about these punch cards that they used to have to take in giant stacks down to the central processing unit on campus, and it took days to get their results. So that's just one generation, really.
Yeah, it's incredible. Now, Jenny also asks here, what do you think about Professor Chaim Eshed's statement that the U.S. already has a deal in place with the Galactic Federation on Mars? Even Stephen Bassett mentioned the Federation as being the end game for his disclosure movement. I don't see that being compatible with time-traveling humans, so it makes my head hurt, she says.
That's great. Yeah, he's a very well-decorated military man with a very long history of service in the military. So I think, you know, I heard this debated recently on, I think it was called The Cryptid Factor, Reese Darby and Leon Kirkbeck's podcast, but they were kind of going back and forth about, well, you know, you get a lot of these late age, near deathbed, revealing of a lot of military people. It was at George Hoover, I think was his name, on his deathbed said that they are time travelers, that the Roswell, crash was a time machine that had crashed. So yeah, I definitely respect the man. And I don't know a lot about what he said. I think I read a quick article talking about, the Federation and some longstanding relationship that's coming from someone outside the U.S. military, though. So I wonder how much he could know about our interaction. But I don't know. It's interesting. And it kind of comes back to what we started this show with, is what level of interaction, if any, is there? I think hopefully we're getting close to knowing that, but we're still not quite there.
I'll be honest with you, though, guys. When I first heard this statement, despite the fact that the guy was a decorated veteran and everything else, I thought, well, it's another old guy like a Paul Hellyer coming out with wacky stuff.
Yeah, that's on the table, too. I mean, who knows what his mental health situation was. Is he senile? Is he now feeling like he can say things? It's really hard to tell. I don't know him, and I kind of hate to even speculate because I can't speak from any sort of personal relationship, so I don't know. It's hard.
Yeah, better to be a little reserved if you don't have all the facts. Yeah. You know, back to Damien, and this is sort of related to what we were just talking about there. He says then, well, do the released Pentagon videos show time ships?
Well, that's the last chapter of the new book. I kind of feel bad saying I don't really want to talk too much about these, but that's the point of writing a book, is to really dive deep into those questions. And Cliff Notes version, I'm not just going to avoid the question entirely, but I don't know. And I say that, but I also offer some possible reasons why they could be, and especially the G-forces that would... these craft would be subjected to. I don't think they could fly and perform those instant accelerations and decelerations without manipulating space-time in and around the craft, to the extent that what we see as an almost instantaneous acceleration is actually a slower process as viewed from the reference frame of the Tic Tac or the flying saucer or triangular-shaped UFO, whichever it may be. I don't think they could perform those maneuvers without the ability to manipulate space-time. Does that mean they traveled through time to get here? Did they come from a base underwater or on the dark side of the moon that were built here in our time for whatever purpose? There's a lot of potential explanations, but I think that the Tic Tac specifically would seem to indicate that they have some basic time-bending properties.
We have to break a second, Randall. I would wonder also here whether we are even seeing the actual craft and not holographic projections out there. It's an external variation of a holodeck. Who knows? Dr. Michael Masters, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe. If you're looking to try to trim back the cloth on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
I mean, but I would definitely use this product.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.